Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hour 3, G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It is a football Friday. Thanks for making us part of your day. G-Bag of the Year is coming up at 5:30. Lucius has it all cooked up for you. We'll have the best champions of 2025, and we'll crown a champ. Of course, what you drinking, what you thinking coming up in an hour. If you want to sound off on anything DFW sports related, could be Cowboys DC, could be Anthony Davis. Hand ligament injury was the breaking news about an hour ago, and he could be out multiple months, according to Sham Sharania. So we'll stand by for more detail on how bad that ligament injury is and if it requires surgery. But Nick Harris, Star Telegram, Cowboys beat writer, joining you now here on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, Nick. How the heck are you?
Doing fantastic. And breaking news, the Luka Doncic trade gets worse somehow?
It does, yeah. Man. It's incredible. It's just gradually worse the more time that goes on. So we'll keep our fingers crossed for a positive development here sooner or later. I guess the good news is it does improve your tank chances, especially if he's not going to play and Kyrie's not going to play. Maybe the Darren Peterson or DeBonta dream will be pretty alive here in the next couple of months. That'd be fine. Do you track college basketball too, Nick?
Oh, yeah, this would be the draft to tank if you were to head that direction. And to pair one of those guys with Cooper Flagg for the future, that's not such a bad reality at the end of the day.
Could end up all right. Now, Cowboys said they're going to cast a wide net. So is it safe to say that these first three interviews are just the beginning here? This is going to go a while, or do you think we could have a quicker resolution?
Yeah, three interviews over the course of the next 2 days, Ephraim Banda and Durante Jones today, and then we'll get Jim Leonard tomorrow. All three of them are virtual, and yes, as all indications are showing, is that this is just going to be the first wave of interviews, and they plan on having a few more next week. They are casting a wide net, and from Brian Schottenheimer in the building to the front office to even some people behind the scenes that have been a big part of this process. A lot of voices are being heard in that building as far as what they want to be looking for in the next defensive coordinator. And they're hoping to be able to hammer out some more of those details as they talk to these three candidates over the next 48 hours.
So, Nick, I know you fired off the Jim Leonard question to Shoddy during the end-of-season presser. I think that's a name that's certainly been circulating. Bobby's been in on letting us know they've had interest there for a while. Why do you think Jim Leonard would be a good candidate for those that don't know a lot about him? And do you think he is the leader in the clubhouse for the job?
As far as the leader in the clubhouse, I think it's way too early to even determine one. I guess the best way to put it is like, they just started round three at the Masters, and sure, Scotty Scheffler's got like a 2-stroke lead, but we got a long way to go.
Yeah.
I think with Jim Leonard specifically, he checks three boxes in my eyes. One, he has the familiarity with Brian Schottenheimer going back to when he played for the New York Jets for three seasons when Schottenheimer was the OC there. They have a good understanding of each other from those days. Even though they haven't really caught up since Leonard has been back in the NFL over the course of the last couple of years, they still do have that familiarity, and they were able to catch up before the Denver game earlier this year and kind of restrike that friendship a little bit. The second box is he's a teacher, and that is one of the things he emphasizes the most. I implore everybody, just go to YouTube, search Jim Leonard Coaching Clinic. Watch any video that pops up. Within the first 5 minutes, I guarantee you, he is going to emphasize, hey, we need to be a teaching type of this is a teaching type of profession. We have to get these guys to understand what we are trying to convey because it's complex stuff, and we have to convey it in the most simplest terms so that all 11 guys on the field can understand that. He checks that box. And then from a takeaway standpoint, Brian Schottenheimer has mentioned it so many times over the course of the last month. He mentioned it on Wednesday in that end-of-season presser, too. He said, we were not good enough in the takeaway ratio. That starts with me offensively, but we had to figure out how to create takeaways defensively. And that is something that Jim Leonard has been able to emphasize with his pass defense, not only at Denver, but going back to his time at Wisconsin, whether it be through simulated pressure, disguised coverages. He makes it difficult for quarterbacks on the opposing side. He checks a lot of boxes at this team is looking for, and I'm very fascinated to see where he ends up in this process.
How honest do you think, Nick, he's going to be in this interview about how bad this defense was? or any of these coordinators? I mean, if you sit down and prep this thing for an interview, how honest is he going to be to Jerry, Steve, and Shadi? They all know they had a bad defense, but to what level do you think they will convey, these guys that interview, how bad this defense is?
You know, if it were me and I was walking into that room, I'd be like, look, you need to rehaul your entire linebacker room other than DeMarvian Overshone and maybe Shamar James. Mm-hmm. And then at the secondary level, you still have guys. It's like, hey, Deron Bland, he wasn't put in the best position to succeed last year. This is why.
Okay.
You could point to a guy like Donovan Ezeraku. Hey, this is a great young player you have right here, but only 2 sacks. This is how we can get him to 5 to 7 to 10 even potentially. How do we maximize his run game stuff so that it helps everybody around him? Savone Revel, here, I have a plan for him. This is a long, lengthy corner. We're going to get him healthy this offseason. I'm going to rebuild his confidence in this exact way. And then, hey, you're telling me that I potentially have 2 first-round picks to use? Hey, I've already done some scouting on these guys. I think Caleb Downs, I think an Arvell Reese or a C.J. Allen. You know, these are some really intriguing names that could help rebuild this defense. And hey, if you don't want to do it then, I know some free agents that are coming around too. I think the pitch would need to be, look, I can rebuild this defense, and I can rebuild it the way that I know will work within my scheme, but you still do have pieces in place that could work if everything does come together.
So you're selling Jerry and Steve, because Jerry says he's got bones, right? He's got bones.
That's, I agree.
That's what he's saying. Okay. So to me, I agree with how you would handle this, the interview part of it, but I'd be really, really honest. I'm like, listen, if you think I'm gonna walk on water at this place and all that, I mean – unless you do this, 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 and this, you ain't going to have a good defense. I think I'd be honest with them about that.
I think also, though, how honest does the front office need to be with themselves, right?
That's why I would tell them this. I would tell them, exactly. You guys need to be honest with yourself that you put together a defense that's not very good.
Yeah. And if I'm in the front office, I'm asking myself, okay, am I trying to get a top 10 defense immediately? Might be a little unrealistic, but if I can get even back to the bottom half of what average looks like in the NFL, then I can get this team back into the playoffs. And if you're a defensive coordinator and you're looking at this opportunity, this has got to be one of the most attractive DC openings, because you have an offense on the other side that is producing the way it did in 2025. You have 2 first-round picks that you would imagine would be used on your side of the ball. And there's a lot of expiring contracts on this defense too.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You can rebuild it to your likening. I think there should be a pitch from a guy coming into an interview. There's a lot of different pitches that I think you can make to be able to sell the front office on, hey, I can get this unit at least back to average in year one, and then in year two, year three, you know, I think there's still potential there, because I agree with Jerry. There are bones to this defense. There are still young players that I have high hopes in, and they should too.
Nick Harris, Star Telegram, with us here in the Nation. Nick, why is defensive line coach Aaron Whitecotton so beloved, especially given just how the defensive line did not really impress in a lot of ways outside of Quinnen Williams and Jadeveon Clowney? And do you think the Cowboys want the next defensive coordinator to retain him?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, Aaron, because I've kind of been diving into that topic over the course of the last few days, just asking people behind the scenes, like, you know, what did Aaron Whitecotton provide? What do you feel like the defensive line provided? What problems did they have that were their fault? What problems were not their fault necessarily? And it's kind of feeling like, hey, the defensive line, yes, there were some issues. Yes, there were some guys that did not perform to their standard. But had the secondary just been a shade better, these guys would have been able to get home more often than they did. And they feel confident in Aaron Whitecotton. And I think it ultimately is going to be up to the new defensive coordinator to retain Whitecotton. But if you're asking me, I think that is a guy you should bring back. He brought leadership to that room when they needed it after the Marshawn Nealand tragedy. When Quinnen Williams came into the building, he had an immediate plan for him to get him back into that attack front type of style, and it immediately contributed for Quinnen Williams. He had a sack and a half in that first game back against the Raiders. I think this is a guy that you want developing not only Quinnen Williams, but also Donovan Ezeraku, a guy that he fought for during the draft process. Any young guy that you would add in this draft, if you were to draft another edge in this group as well, I would look at Aaron Whitecotton's track history here to point out, hey, he did this, this, this in New York. He did this with these defensive tackles and those defensive ends. Yes, last year was kind of an aberration, I think, toward what he can prove with his unit, and I would take that gamble going into 2026, but that's just me.
With Bonda and Jones, which one's more ready to be an NFL DC?
I would say Jones. I think, you know, going back to, you know, his experience, you know, he does have the experience from being defensive coordinator at LSU. I think there's going to be some things that they look at with Jones that they loved about Brian Flores, and specifically with what he was being asked to do with the back end. And they have to be so on top of their tasks on the back end in that Vikings defense because of how often that they send pressure. And there's a lot of responsibility that goes into that. I'd be curious to see what they come out of that interview with Durante Jones. I would definitely consider him a candidate in this process. He's another fascinating name that I was curious would potentially get an interview this cycle.
Nick, one name that I saw you throw out in your article earlier the week was Carl Scott of the Seahawks. And I did some research on Carl Scott. Personally got super pumped about him. Do you think that he's still a name that could end up getting an interview request?
Yeah, that one's going to be tough, right, because the Seahawks are in the very same situation as the Broncos, whereas he would need to get that interview done this week, and it wasn't scheduled this week. And so if the Seahawks continue to move on in the playoffs over the course of the next few weeks, they most likely would not be able to talk to him until that process is over or until their run is over, whatever that looks like. But Carl Scott would have been a guy I would have liked to see them take a swing at here in this process. But, you know, as of right now, it's not looking likely.
Looking at the Cowboys free agent list of guys that they could either bring back or let go, how many would you like to see return? And what are you hearing about the future of Terrence Steele?
As far as the free agents go, they have 21 going into this offseason. I did a breakdown on the Star Telegram earlier today about, you know, which ones I could see coming back, which ones probably aren't as likely. You know, some guys that, you know, I see coming back, the obvious ones, Javonte Williams, Jadeveon Clowney, if the money works out for Clowney, George Pickens, Brandon Aubrey, you know, some of the guys up there at the top. But we also get into the nitty-gritty as far as the Josh Butlers and the Hakeem Adeniyis of the world and Dante Fowler. So, which, speaking of, Dante Fowler is a guy I would take a one-year swing at. If the price is right and you can get him back, I would take another swing at Dante Fowler. That's another example, I think, of this D-line not being put in the best situation. And also, he was not healthy for most of the season. He admitted that to me on Monday. I would like to see what that would look like as long as it's on a cheap deal. But what was your other question, Zach?
The future of Terrence Steele.
Future Terrence Steele, yeah, that was an interesting one. I asked Jerry coming out of that end-of-season presser. I kind of grouped him into the conversation of Kenny Clark because when you look at those two contracts, those are the two most obvious ones you're going to have to take a look at here this offseason. He said that they want both of those guys back but didn't necessarily say he would want them both back at the price point that they are currently sitting at. So I would expect, you know, conversations to be had with both of those guys this offseason about, you know, what can make sense for both sides moving forward.
Yeah, Nick, in terms of that walk-off after the presser, anything interesting that Jerry was saying?
Yeah, and stop me if you've heard this before, but he wants to be aggressive in free agency. But that was something else that he hammered home. And, you know, he had mentioned it on Sunday in the press box right before the game. Me and a couple of reporters were able to grab him before that season finale began against the Giants. And he said, you know, we have the potential to make as dramatic of a difference as we've had in a long time. What does that look like? You know, he looks at these two first round picks not only as opportunities to make the defense better potentially, or to use them as a bargaining chip in a trade to go get another first round type talent around the league. I think they are looking at a lot of options to see how they can drastically improve this defense going into 2026, because they understand not only the product that they have with Dak Prescott, but also with Brian Schottenheimer and the offense that they built this past season. They want to maximize that while they can.
Nick, pick me two players at 12 and 20.
Give me Caleb Downs at 12, just because I'm feeling optimistic today. It's a Friday and it's a beautiful day outside. And give me C.J. Allen at 20. I'm a big C.J. Allen guy.
You have nothing.
Linebacker out of Georgia.
You just feel like the safety position is so much. It's a need, but you know, there's a lot of people who say, "Oh, that's not a premium position to draft." You just think this is such a great football player,
F those
right?
People, Nick. F those people.
Yeah, I think he's just such a special guy. I more years than not, I would probably agree with those people, but this is such a special talent. This guy is different. Mm-hmm. And I think if you move on from Donovan Wilson this offseason, he is an immediate replacement that can plug in and play immediately and give you not only presence in the box, but I think he's got some range ability too on the back end that can really give you some day one contribution. I'm a big fan of Caleb Downs.
What do you like about Allen?
Just a thumper and really smart communicator. He fits what the Brian Schottenheimer mold of being a captain and off the field leader looks like too. He makes a lot of sense for this team. And he's sideline to sideline. His range is great. I want to see what his testing looks like come combine time. But I think it's going to be a very fascinating process to watch for CJ Allen as well.
Are Max Crosby or Trey Hendrickson hopes alive?
I'll tell you this. If the Las Vegas Raiders decide that they want to move on from Max Crosby, I can almost guarantee you Max Crosby will put the Dallas Cowboys either number one or number two on his desired wish list. I just don't see the Raiders ever wanting to do that or Crosby being willing to, you know, give in to that notion. He wants to be a lifelong Raider, and as long as the Raiders want to keep him around, I think it's going to stay that way.
You're the man, Nick. Enjoy your wild card weekend, and we'll catch up with you real soon.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. Y'all have a great one.
Salute. Nick Harris, Star Telegram here with you in the GBAC Nation. Yeah, I want to go through the draft process and then try to do a trade for Max Crosby like you did for George Pickens. We're going to use the next year's draft assets so you don't have to choose draft assets or Max Crosby.
Yeah.
And then before we get there, I also want to sign Trey Hendrickson. So Trey, Max, plus the two picks. Now Jerry Jones is talking about maybe winning a Super Bowl or two. You want to win the Super Bowl, Brian? I laid it out for you.
Trust me. Last time I was a young man the last time they were in one.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, pretty brutal.